Well, good morning. It's a different type of morning here at First Congregational Church. We are going to start. We will not have a prelude this morning. We have a little issue with our pipe organ and the blower. So that will be fixed during the week. So you'll hear the piano this morning. So we're going to kind of pour. Alan Taylor is going to punt a lot. So, but we're good with that. Welcome again. We have candles lit. We can light candles during the announcements. That's fine. Do you have anything like a lighter or anything back there, Noah? Why don't you light those and come on down? We're okay. We're going to be a little different this morning. For those folks who were involved in pancakes and all of the breakfast last week, thank you. That was wonderful. We had a great crew with us last week. Coming up, we have something we call Pasta with the Pastor. And I did hear from Michelle Weiner last evening. She is at, they're asking that if you would like to contribute, bring desserts. They've got everything else under control. But Pasta with the Pastor is in 2 weeks. It'll be on Saturday, October 19th, and that'll go from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. If you are someone who would like to not drive in the dark, you can come early at 4 p.m. It is becoming more and more real for people as time marches on and as our days become a little shorter. So if you can contribute a dessert, great. You can see Kelly. You're going to hear from Kelly in a little bit anyway. So you can see Kelly or Mark Weiner, and they will get some, take down some names. The other thing that's going to happen the week after that, on October 26th, is our Halloween party. So we need candy. And as in the past 2 years, the candy will not be stored in the pastor's office. So, because the pastor will eat it. So we're going to put it someplace else where I don't normally go. They will probably hide it. So we need candy and we need volunteers. So Gail and Amy are both not here this week. So if you can see them or you can see Janet, then we can get some information out to you about our Halloween party. If you are someone who would like to become a member, you've been coming to church, and you would like to become a member at First Congregational Church, we're going to have a new member ceremony in November. So if you can see me after church quickly, I can just tell you what we need to do. And what I really need you to do is to call Cindy Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday between 9 and 1. If that's possible. I know that Mark and Judy both have announcements.
Good morning. All right, so show of hands, how many people like to talk to other people? Okay, how many people like to talk to people that they know? How many people like to meet new people? Well, that's still a lot of hands. Excellent. That means we need your help. If you noticed on your way in this morning, there were people greeting you at the door. And it's a wonderful way to come into the church and be welcomed and to feel wanted and to feel like you have a friend when you walk in the door. So we are looking for people to come and be those greeters for the morning. So if you are willing to stand at the door, come for 9:15 before service and be at each one of the front and the back doors. If you'd like to be one of those people, come and see me. And I will put you on a date on a list. So come and see me after church. Thank you.
On Wednesday, this week, is a Christian fellowship meeting at 1 o'clock. We're going to hear from the Westfield Senior Center. She's going to talk on senior safety and also tell us the events things going on at the senior center that we could join in on. November's, we're going to have our high school course again, and that's always a big hit. And we're thinking about wreath making. It's quite a project, but is Bob here today? Oh, it's very messy. That's all I have to say. He's not going to like it.
So if you like to make a mess, you should come to wreath making. No. But thank you. Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship as found in your worship guide. We are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and blessed by God.
We come to worship one Lord our God.
O God, our own God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth.
Your majesty is new to our eyes. It enables you to dust and sing your grace.
In the name of the healer, the provider, and the enabler, let your gratitude and joy be made known.
O God, our own God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth.
Join in our opening hymn, Gracious Spirit, dwell with me in your hymnal, number 277.
Lift us up. and cause us to serve you by serving others in this world. May we continue to grow in grace as we learn how to serve you in the name of the great servant, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray as we say, Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God's love and restoring mercy are poured out for us. Receive these blessings, for we are loved by God, and granted forgiveness and mercy. Amen. You may be seated. Doesn't say necessarily that we're going to have a message for children of all ages this morning, but we're having it anyway, because we're all in one spot. And I've made it very easy today. How many of you plan to get old someday? I hope so. Do you plan to be older? Do you plan to get any older at all? No? This is it? Do you think you might graduate from high school? Do you think you might maybe go to college or get a job? Yeah, all right. At some point, those things are going to happen because they happen. They even happened to me. And I even had a couple of different jobs. Mostly I was a teacher, but I did a few other little things. And it's funny because sometimes I say to myself, when I was 12 or 11, or even when I was 9, what would I say to myself as someone who is 62? I wonder. And today, that's what you're going to explore in church school classes. What message would you tell your older self? So that will be very interesting. And hopefully sometime in the next couple of weeks, we'll hear some of those, if you'd like to share. All right? Let's pray together, and then off we'll go to church school. Good and loving God, we ask your blessing upon our young people and those who work with them. May they all be guided by your Holy Spirit. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may go to church school.
Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels, but someone has testified somewhere. What are humans that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. So by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of that salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sacrifices, sanctifies, and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 8. Our Lord,
our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Our gospel reading this morning is a continuation from the gospel according to Mark. Some, testing him, asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, God, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God.
They said,
Tell us what you need. We'll try to be here. And then they kept their ears open. They kept their eyes open for things that I needed. The gifts that they have are compassion. The ability to go through some of those items. That is a method of stewardship. And it drove me to come and check this church out. It brought me here. It brought double the population of youth in our church. It did, right? And that's wonderful. And I'm so grateful. And likewise, ladies, you definitely are carrying that stewardship, flag throughout our church and continue to do so. And there are some people in this congregation who have reached out in other ways to provide gifts of what they know, what God has bestowed upon them. And I'm just going to tell you a couple. I was at a barbecue that was for the youth returning back to school. And Mr. Dan was gathering Jacob and said, Jacob, you know how to barbecue? And Jacob's like, he's like, no. It's not just turning burgers and hot dogs. It's looking around to the group and saying, hey guys, how's everyone doing? Anyone need some more hot dogs? Hamburgers? It's about going back over here and checking people's needs. It's about cleaning up. That's my timer that like shut up. I got an extra minute and 15 seconds because I wanted to cut myself early. But he was over there with Jacob, not saying Jacob go and just make the burgers and put them away. He was telling him, he stood there with him and said, okay, hey, how many burgers do you still have over here? How many hot dogs do you have? We'll walk around and check this out, see what we need to do. Now, Mr. Dan, if you did not know, is a barbecuer. He's a good barbecuer. He's an outdoor guy. And he could take those skills and he could just keep them right here at the best. You don't have children. You aren't obligated to share that skills with somebody. But Jacob has the potential to learn that. And he has the potential to not just when we have a gathering at a church, be the only one barbecuing. Two of you over there, I'm talking to you. Or, the only one gathering supplies. Now they're teaching the skills that they're bringing to our church, the support that they're giving to our church. They're teaching that to the youth. Having the skill and keeping it to yourself is beautiful that you have it. But if we are taking those skills that God has bestowed upon us and sharing them with somebody else who can continue with that, then the population of our church is going to continue decreasing. You've invested your time, your efforts, your resources into this church to making it successful. Let's be good stewards of those gifts that God has given us, and not just in a way that we're tithing, but in the way that maybe we're taking a few minutes to talk to somebody that maybe doesn't have the skill that we have and say, hey, yeah, I learned how to do that. I learned how to sew that. Cindy Gaylord taught me about sewing on a button differently. It sounds so simple. But it's actually a very big deal, because if something goes wrong in the back, and we need to sew something on real quick, I got you. Because someone taught me that. As simple as that. I really would love our congregation to reach down and think, what do I have that is a gift and a blessing? Because I feel that if we share those gifts with our congregation, we are going to continue to grow and to multiply. But if we don't, then are we really doing the best with what God gave us? So I'm going to end with this real quick. And 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, therefore Christians must use their gifts, because it is the will of being good stewards or caretakers for what God has entrusted us. I went through and looked for stewardship quotes, and I have a billion of them. The Bible actually has over 17 mentions that specifically say the word stewardship that related to this. So I think that what we can end with is telling everyone here that we're following this process, and everywhere throughout the Bible it's reminding us what to do with those gifts that we have. So I'm reaching out to all of you and saying thank you for those of you who have been sharing, and those of you who think that you've been sharing but you've just opened your eyes to other opportunities to share. Saying, let's open it up so that we can continue to build and flourish. Thank you.
Kelly, thank you so much. I'm supposed to get the sermon now. I think we already had one. A very good one at that. certainly something we will hear from other church members throughout the month of October as we start to plan, and we ask every one of our members to consider what they are able to give time-wise, talent-wise, treasure-wise. What are we able to contribute to First Congregational Church and bringing about the reign of God in the greater Westfield area? That being said, I do have a question for you, but we're not going to have to share today because we're in a little time crunch. But what is your favorite memory of your early years in school? Some of us are going to have to dig deeper than others to find this. But what's your favorite memory of your early years in school? Now, I'm not going to have to share today, as I said, but just take a moment and think about it. Now, for grades 1 through 5, I went to a school with no intercom, no public address system, or no school secretary. If the principal, and I went to Catholic school for 12 years, I think I told you that much, but if the principal, and at the time she was Sister Superior, wanted to get a message out, she had to walk to each room, or she could send a messenger. If she left the office, she would invariably come to the first room next to the office, which was first grade, and tap the shoulder of the person in the back of the room and say, "Listen for the phone, dear." Well, guess who sat in the back of the room? Row 1, seat 6. And next to me in row 2, seat 6, Sheila Quinn. I went to school with Sheila for 12 years. Either one of us would be tapped for various assignments from Sister Patricia Ann. One day, I was tapped and saw her motion for me to come with her into the hall. As I knew I wasn't in trouble, because I was actually a really good kid in school. I know you don't believe it, but I was. But I wasn't in trouble for anything, so I was very happy to go with her. And she handed me a note with a list of rooms to go to. And she said, "Take this to each classroom, dear, and wait for a response." Oh, what joy was there to A, get out of class, and B, go see what was happening in the entire building. So it was great until I got to the 8th grade. Remember, I was in the 1st grade, no kindergarten, we were at the bottom rung. There was a sign outside of the door, but I had been told by Sister Patricia Ann to go to each room and wait for a response. I knocked on the door, and out came Sister Agnes Claudia. Does she sound like she's tough? She was. Now, Sister, she was as fearsome as the name. She says to me, "Can't you read?" I knew better, or was too afraid to say, "No, sister." So I was only in the 1st grade. She took the note, closed the door, and left me there. I knew that I was supposed to wait for a response, but I was petrified. But I held my ground, and I waited. A few moments later, Sister Agnes Claudia came back, handed me the note, and said sweetly, which was also equally surprising, "Thank you very much." I wish I had known what was in that note. I couldn't even be tempted because I did look a little bit. It was written in cursive. 1st graders don't know how to read cursive. We didn't then, we don't, and they certainly don't now. But, however, based on the response, it must have been very important. Now, some messengers, like a 1st grader, are not terribly important, but it is the message that means something to the ones who hear it. That's on this hand. But on this hand, depending on the message, the reputation of the messenger can go a long way to to give credence to the actual message. The message that the author of the letter to the Hebrews wanted to deliver was meant to be heard. Now, the identity of the author has never been confirmed. While some attribute it to Paul, it isn't exactly written in the style of Paul. Also, Paul and Peter had a pact. A pact that said that Paul would preach and evangelize to the Gentiles, while Peter would do the same for those of the Jewish faith. So why would Paul write to the Hebrews? Anyhow, while messengers can be important, we must turn our focus to the message, to the letter to the Hebrews. We are reminded that God made promises throughout history to people that were fulfilled. He promised to give Abraham many descendants, which came to fruition through his grandson Jacob. He showed the promised land to Moses. And as told in the story of creation, God put us in charge of the land. And then we learn that we, as followers of Christ, had been gifted with the incarnation, that God is truly divine and human. It is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to humankind to send a Messiah, and did so with his Son, Jesus. After the author of Hebrews thoroughly explains that Jesus is the Son of God, he proceeds to proclaim the humanity of Jesus, hence the incarnation. What greater argument for Jesus' humanity can there be other than Jesus' suffering? Suffering even unto death. Jesus, the Son incarnate, literally taking on flesh, putting himself in the same vulnerability as flesh, in a position a little lower than the angels, as Anne told us in that letter. But from that position, he has now been exalted over all, above all, and has imparted to his flesh his holiness, and this holiness is available to all who receive him. Pretty heavy stuff for a Sunday morning, isn't it? But before he died, Jesus had one last meal with his disciples. And this is another way that we can keep Christ with us. And this Sunday, Christians from all over the world celebrate World Communion Sunday. We have this sacred meal to remember that Christ died for all of us, but left us something to commemorate. We use this as a sign of our faith for those who believe or seek to believe, and to share in worship this day. This message is unavoidable. Jesus gave us ultimate sacrifice. There's a newer hymn that's out that tells us, "We remember how you loved us to your death, and still we celebrate, for you are with us here. Because wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. And we believe that we will see you when you come again in your glory." We've said it before, we'll say it again. The message tells us that we remember, we celebrate, we believe. We remember, we celebrate, we believe. What a great message. Amen. Let's take just a moment of quiet reflection. As we come to prayer this morning, we are ever mindful of our prayer requests that are in our worship guide. And of course, as we pray, we'll remember those as we pray today. And of course, we will remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. Certainly, we are mindful of war and conflict in the Middle East, and we pray for an end quickly. We pray for those who are victims of Hurricane Helene down in the southern part of our country, that relief may come to them soon. And we pray for those who are able to answer the call to help in joyful thanksgiving. May God be with you. Please pray with me. Creator God, swirling, formless one, hovering over creation and bringing new things to life, you speak new worlds into being with language that creates and liberates. Eternal God, living, limitless one, inhabiting the vast universe, with the rich complexity of your being, you reveal yourself to your creatures and invite us to know you. Loving God, nurturing, welcoming one, opening yourself wide to the joy and pain of loving your people, you place us in communities and families that echo your true nature. Holy God, we thank you for the ways in which we have known and understood you. We thank you for the metaphors that have opened our eyes to more of who you are. We thank you for the language that has brought the transcendent, timeless, mysterious God within our grasp. Holy God, we are hungry for more of you. We ask you to reveal more of yourself to us, to take us beyond the confines of familiar habits, to free us from the restrictions and distortions of our language, to expand our understanding of you so that we can love you wholeheartedly. We can communicate to you faithfully, and we can reflect your full image to a world that needs you now more than ever. Amen. My friends, we have the means to give. We have the reasons to give. And there are many waiting for us to give. With all of that, our morning offering will now be received. God of grace, help us live and give in your kingdom of love, where there are no enemies, only brothers and sisters. And kindness is the air we breathe. May these gifts help us to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. This table is open to all who recognize Jesus Christ as healer and redeemer. This table is open to all who work to bring God's kingdom here on earth. No one is turned away because of life circumstances. No one is barred from this table. No one seeking God's abundant grace and mercy is turned aside. We see before us the abundance that a life of faith offers as we respond to God's everlasting mercy in prayer and deed. And may God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to God Most High.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right to give you thanks, and it is fitting that we offer praise, God of mercy, faithful God. You sent Jesus Christ, your Son, among us as Redeemer and Lord. He was moved with compassion for the poor and the powerless, for the sick and the sinner, and he made himself neighbor to the oppressed. By his words and actions, he proclaimed to the world that you care for us as a parent cares for his or her children. And so, in grateful procession of endless praise, with the church that is, was, and shall be forever, we glorify you in song. To yourself, so that from east to west north to south, a perfect offering may be made to the glory of your name. And so, God, we bring you these gifts of bread and wine. We ask you to make them holy by the power of your Holy Spirit, and let them become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As they celebrated one last Passover meal together, Jesus dispensed with the normal blessing, but took bread, broke it, and gave it to those present, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Whenever you do it in memory of me." When it came time to share the cup, he took it, and instead of the regular blessing, he said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." Through the broken bread, we participate in the body of Christ. Through the cup of salvation, we participate in the blood of Christ. So come, for all things are ready. Ministering to you in his name, I give you the bread.
ministering to you in his name, I give you the cup. Please join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving is found in your worship, God. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Jesus Christ.
Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another,
and send us forth into the world encouraging peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Savior. I invite you to join in our closing hymn, Lift High the Cross, which is number 680, 680 in your blue hymnal. Been healed and made whole by God's love, now go out into God's world to be a healer and one who brings peace and hope to others. Know always that God is with us. Amen.
Amen.